A joke. Well, it's not a joke, but I got hit in the head by the garage door at that house.
So we're joined today by Kathy, who is has been a client and has become a friend, although she lives, clear across the world from me. And she is taking us to the place where you were born or the place where you grew up, Kathy.
Yes, this is where I grew up. This is North York, Ontario, Canada, and North York is a it was a borough of Toronto, so a branch, like a subdivision, I guess, of Toronto.
Well, I've been to Toronto, but I've definitely not been to North York, I don't think.
It's the suburbs, it's the north part. Toronto, we have a very simple, we have a northwest line and we have a south or north south subway line and east west. That's it. And I was at the very end of the north south route, and I lived at the or worked at the very south end. And in the 80s, people said, "Wow, you come from Finch Station that was so far, and now people travel like 2 hours out of Toronto just to get to Toronto." And then they take the subway an hour. Amazing.
How the commute works now, as you're just saying, right? Like it used to be so far, when it was probably only, 20, 30 miles, right? But then now it's like people commute from 2 hours away and it's like it's so easy, it's so second nature. But it's like, man, back then 2 hours would have been another country almost, right? Like it was just so far, so distant to fathom, like, wow, that's 2 hours away. Why would we go there,
I mean,
And every
technically,
day.
2 hours would be another country for me, but that's just.
Yeah, that's the perspective of the size of the countries. I mean, in Canada is massive country with very few population.
Yeah, I remember that from the times when I worked for the youth exchange organization, and we would fly kids to Canada specifically because it is quite empty. And they would like, we'd fly them to the closest airport to their host family, and sometimes that would still be like a 3, 4 hour drive for them to get to their home from that airport. And that for these Dutch kids was just like, so weird. Such a culture shock, because 4 hours is, that is the longest I think you can drive from one end to the other in the country I live in. So for that to be the closest you can get to an airport is it's just weird.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. This has a great souvenir looking at this picture, actually. I had a really good childhood, I think. I mean, just kind of middle class. I don't know if you want to zoom around, but if you go to the right, I don't know if that's the way that you would say, but at the end of the road, is the public school I went to. And so I walked to public school. I would go home for lunch. Yeah, down there's a church right at the end, and then beside the church there was a public school. So just a little skip and a hop away. My grandparents lived in the basement, and so my grandmother would make us lunch at my brother and I lunch at lunchtime, and yeah, it was a beautiful. I thought it was I was so kind of innocent, I think. I didn't know what was happening in the world.
I'm going to
What's really
ask
cool
a
about
really
this
big
too is
question.
like your whole world was right there, right? Like you have your home, your family's all connected, then you had the elementary school, and like your whole world as a child was in this neighborhood. And it's always cool to look at stuff like that, right? Or to go back, like, man, that was my whole entire world. And then now it's like our worlds are so much more vast, and we're all connected globally to friends, and we can do stuff like this. But when you go back to the suburban moments, where you're like, man, my life was just this little mile or a kilometer patch, and everything was so great,
At the time, it was, I was looked after. My grandmother loved me, and maybe she might have been the only one that did, but at least she did. Ha ha, not funny. And at the other end of the road, if you go the other way across the main street, was the high school that I went to. So again, I was able to go home from lunch from high school. Middle school, that's where the troubles began. I wouldn't go home from that because it was too far. But I wasn't bus. I would still walk there, but that was probably a couple of kilometers to get to the junior high. So fun. What a great souvenir.
What's the surrounding area like? Like, is this close to the downtown area, or is this, how far north is it, or what's this like, what's the, not to say the vibe, but you know what I'm saying, like what's the, or what was it back then, like of this area of town?
This is a suburb of Toronto, and it was the northern edge of the boundary of metropolitan Toronto, and then you're in the next city is when you cross the next street north, you go into, and that's even more suburb. It's kind of all one now. Toronto has expanded so much, and instead of, because we have so much land, instead of growing up. Andrew, you spent time in Europe, and you're from the States. Don't you find in Europe they really did look after public transit and trains and subways and ways to get the people around? In North America, we're like, no, we got cars, so we got roads everywhere. There's roads, and so that's how we built up, was through urban sprawl. And it seemed great, like probably in the 60s, whatever, 70s. Yay, we get to jump in our car and have these road trips. And now it's like gridlock. I mean, car chaos, because everybody wants to have their own ride.
And everyone just has their own, everyone's going at their own speed of things now, right? It's like we've gone more individual as we've gotten older because we have families or we have different commitments. And it's not like we're all just riding the bus together like we did as kids to go to the elementary school, right? Or walking down the street. And you're totally right. Like living in Europe to me is the Southern Californian. Everything is built up. When for me, again, North America for the both of us, but really in Southern California, everything is built out. Like there's just so much space. Everything is vast. You know, you leave The Hague 5 minutes and it's flat farm, but like everything is very compacted, like right where Mags is at, and you have like the park and everything. But to me, it was like, wow, this everything is spread out. So to me, it's easy to get around with public transportation. But if you put it in context to Canada or the size of the United States, it's so vast. So to me, it's living smaller, but there's a charm to it to me. There's a real charm that I like about kind of the smaller living or the smaller cities, if you will, because again, we're Toronto and Southern California, it's endless, you know, and it's concrete and it's very gridlocked and there's so many people and everyone's on their own mission. And I feel like that's just how it is. You know, it's not just being a kid going to elementary school where you're friends and we're all going to class together and then we're playing at the park and then we're going home so grandma can make sandwiches. Like life is very small and very charming, and then it kind of expands from there, which is exciting. But yeah, it kind of expands like where we're both from, just the vastness of geography. It's pretty wild.
I mean, you tell me about how much you appreciated public transport in the Netherlands roughly once a week, Andrew, and how much you miss being on the train, just being able. And I haven't ever owned a car in my life. I used to share a car with my sister because I worked in a place that was like a 20-minute drive, and it would take me an hour and a half by public transport because I first had to go into Amsterdam and then out of Amsterdam again, whereas I could also just, drive across. But it's the only time that I actually used a car in a regular way. And especially living in the city, I rely on my bicycle and public transport, and that gets me everywhere I need to go. And bikes in the Netherlands especially, they really wanted people to use bicycles, so they made it quite early on, made it quite attractive too. And it's a flat country, so that helps, makes cycling a lot easier when you don't have to struggle up hills. But even just in urban planning, they made space for bikes to be there and to be relatively safe in traffic, which makes it such a convenient way to get around. And also, who was I talking to recently who was like, I don't understand why Dutch people don't wear like bike helmets, and I was like, it's never gonna happen. It's
Oh, you don't wear helmets. Oh,
like,
okay.
no. And I can't really explain why not, because it would be so much safer, but it's a big no. And I can't even explain why I'm like, no.
It's
It's
just funny because,
just
like, I feel like everything is so safe out there, and like the way things are built and the way how efficient things are. But like the one thing, like, but on the bike, you don't need it. It's interesting.
don't know. It's like it's a really deep rooted feeling where I'm like, there's no way. So I don't, and I can't really explain where that comes from, but no, bike helmet's not really a thing here. For kids, maybe, but nah.
And there's no gears, is that right? Like it's all one speed. Like they're kind of stop and goes, aren't they? The bikes?
The bikes, or depends on your bike, but most bikes will have like my sort of bike has like three gears, but that's about it.
Oh, three gears. Okay. Yeah.
I'm only using it in city traffic, so there is a lot of stopping and starting because, I have to. There's traffic lights and things like that, and there's only so much speed you can get up to when
Yeah.
you're doing that, when you're participating in traffic.
When it's flat.
Well, and there are people who cycle for exercise, but they're more likely to go out of town.
I love cycling.
What I like about this too, Kathy, this neighborhood is it looks very similar to what I grew up in Southern California. Like the suburbia is built for, I mean, I know this is a newer photo than when it was from when you were a child, but just how it's built with the houses, and like this is a very suburban, North American neighborhood, right? And again, being in the Netherlands and Mags, where you're from, like it looks very different, right? Because everything is more built up, or even just staying in some Airbnbs in the city, like everything, you have the parks and the cute neighborhoods, but it's just like the way that the homes are built. Like even here, there's a little bit of space, right? Like in Southern California now, you have a lot of houses that are built together in the more condo style, but you at least have some separation from your neighbors. But like same, growing up, we had a front yard, we had a backyard, the neighbor was a couple steps away. Like you had the more sprawling living space. But then again, when you look at where you were at in right there outside of Zuider Park, right? Like everyone is together, but everyone's built up and kind of sharing walls together. So it's an interesting concept of like the neighborhoods over there versus like the neighborhoods out our way. Because it's a lot more sprawling, it's a lot more just, it's got the grid of streets, stop signs, and it's really interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah, I think so too. This is other than the house on the right, all that looks like everything's pretty much the same. The house that I grew up in, they just looks like they put a new front on it or something. We had red brick when I lived there, but other than that, same trees. The trees are still the same. And because quite often in these old neighborhoods, what happens is somebody buys a house and they knock it down, and that the gentleman, my mom sold this house, I think it was 2004, she sold that place and moved out of town. The guy that bought it was intending to do a little bit of reno and then flipping it, and something happened with the interest rates or something, and he just got into trouble with money, so now he still lives there.
It was a brick house, you said. So that was going to be my question earlier. So I noticed the house on the right is brick. Are a lot of these homes in this neighborhood built by brick?
Yes, a lot of the houses in this area are brick. A lot of the houses in Toronto are brick. In fact, that's the number one building for houses. And it was interesting. We had somebody come from Vancouver to visit, and they were so surprised because they have wood houses out there in Vancouver, where I guess they have more forests, so, or they did have, I guess, before they cut it down to make houses.
Someone, I'm sure.
What's that, Megs?
I'm sure they still have some left.
They
Yeah,
do a couple.
pretty foresty out this way. Again, I
is.
haven't been to Toronto myself, but being, living in the Pacific Northwest out here just outside of Seattle, and with Vancouver being just north, like very, but I can also see the wood. I mean, the house that I'm in now and all the houses out here, very wood. I haven't seen a brick house out this way. There's some brick houses. My grandparents have a brick house in Northern California. But I always like recognize the brick house has a cool look to it, and a cool just interesting aesthetic to it. I just where I come from, there's not a lot of brick. I think in Southern California, it would just get way too hot, and you'd cook inside your house. So brick houses, I love the charm for it. But yeah, I was seeing just looking at here. I know I can't totally see the other houses, but I was assuming that the brick houses were kind of a thing in the neighborhood. But I like that; it's charming.
Yeah, and somehow I don't know why I felt compelled to bring my wedding picture. Here we go. Da 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 da. And you saw him in the background. It's still the same guy. And we met not far from here. A couple of main streets to the south was where he grew up. And I was the flight attendant. I was the locker attendant at the pool at his school, at his high school. So we didn't go to high school together, but I worked at his school. And then we took this budget driving school, driving lessons. It was like Acme, like from the cartoons, Acme driving school. And so there was three students in the car. Like it was really budget. I think it was like $65 or something Canadian. That's where we met. We met in driving school, which is a hilarious story. He was 17, I was 16, and so fun. And that's actually, I don't, probably not anymore with dating apps, and because we're such a global community, but at that time, there was a statistics that people met their life partner, within 10 blocks or within, a certain number of miles or kilometers, you would probably meet your life partner. And so I did.
An amazing full circle story right there. In this neighborhood we're looking at where you grew up and you met him very close by. So it's like very central to just growing up, adolescence, and then to this day. It's, I know you've obviously moved and you're in different places now, but like to look back at it and just to hear that, that's what this is all about. That's why this is an incredible story. I'm grateful that you've taken us here, Kathy. This is cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, it was interesting because when Megs asked me, I was like, there's so many places that I could go because I've traveled quite a bit. And then Rick suggested, hey, why don't you go back to where you grew up? And I thought that's actually a good idea. Yeah. It was a great souvenir. Again, going on the Google Earth and having a look. I've never looked at my house on Google Earth. So that was wonderful. Thank you for the nudge to do that. And yeah, I've really enjoyed this little conversational cuppa.
Hey, it's Mags. Thanks for joining us for a conversational cuppa, and we'll see you next time.